When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, hey. Sorry I didn't see you there. This is an audio medium.
If you grew up with Disney Channel shows, DCOMs, and music, the Time Machine is ready for you to take a trip back to those golden days.
Quick! Before the time reaches 8, 7 Central! What is up, time travelers? Welcome back to the Time Machine podcast with me, Espresso, Becca Stogner.
Oh, and me switching it up like Nintendo, Hunter Martin. If you ever heard Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter, go do that now. We have been listening. We've been spinning.
Yes. I was saying before we hopped on mic, I don't know what it is about like the pop girls' singles lately or like even their albums, but they'll hit and it takes like a listen or two to like, we'll both listen to it and be like, this is fine, like, it's good. And then, like, two or three listens later, we're like, I'm streaming.
I think it's because if they're not our go-to artists, we don't put all the eggs in the basket.
Yeah.
You know? Like, Sabrina Carpenter music isn't on my radar. I'm a fan, but not, like, a counting down the days till a new song comes out. And that, like, it just snuck up on me.
I know. It's a hit.
Well, apparently it's projected to be debuting in the top 10 on the Billboard charts. Her first top 10 of her career.
Yes.
Which you were upset about because
I'm really coming around on Espresso, but I'm surprised that like Feather wasn't a top 10 because Feather is like that girl.
I think Espresso's having the Feather nonsense after effect.
Exactly. This always happens.
As we said, Endless Summer Vacation, Flowers, etc. The Grammy win for Miley Cyrus was the Plastic Hearts.
It's just like effect. When somebody wins an Oscar for a movie that like they should have won an Oscar for like 8 years ago and they weren't like that great in the movie, but they win the Oscar and everybody knows that it's for the other movie. That's what this is. Speaking of Sabrina Carpenter, the response to our Boy Meets World episode last week was...
Oh, yes.
Really surprising to me.
We did ask and we received... quite a bunch of responses.
I feel like usually when we cover shows in the 2010s era that we don't like them as much, and a lot of our listeners are like, well, you guys are wrong, like we loved this show and right. There's more supporters. So I was kind of just surprised, but for Boy Meets World we had some passionate haters. Like we got some essays.
Well, a lot of people agreed with us that the entire show sounds exactly like the first episode, where it's very confusing on what they're trying to say.
And yeah, it doesn't so make I was sense. Glad to hear people agreed with us on that regard, and we're not just like insane.
But you know our rule, at least my rule for the podcast is, once we cover the first episode of something, especially the 2010s, now any episode from that series is up for grabs, whether we want to include it in a theme month or something like that. I said for the Girl Meets World, if we need a Christmas episode, I vote that one because that is when we get some of the returning characters from Boy Meets World on the show.
Oh, okay.
Like Sean.
I think the only compliment that I saw in our comments was somebody saying that they really enjoyed a reunion between like two characters.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. So we'll see. I'm getting over a little sick spell.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know if you can probably still hear it in my voice a little bit. Last Thursday was really bad, but I had somewhere to be that night, and I said, I'm just going to muster...
Your show!
I had my show.
Your singing show.
Yeah, if you are in the New York area, I got a plug! So I knew I was, like, singing, performing Thursday night, and I felt horrible. So I said, I'm going to save all my energy for that show on Thursday night, and I did. And you know how, like, when you... overexert yourself, you can feel your body just like a battery, mm-hmm. like a remote battery, like, or your AirPods. like that.
Like Jesse J. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I felt as soon as I finished my show. Friday, all day Friday, I think I maybe took a total of 30 steps.
Bedrock girly.
Bedrock. Call me Fred Flintstone.
While you were rotting in bed, I was doing a 6-mile hike.
Right. So we had very different weekends.
We did.
And I'm still, today has been like every day I've gotten better. Are you going to go back to Colorado? Was it a good trip?
It was great. We really loved it.
I knew a lot of people who went to Colorado in high school. If you're familiar with Young Life.
Ugh, yes.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what we give that.
Young Life in middle school was where I heard all of the phrase biggest hits for the first time.
They would always do their meet every Young Lifer around the America. In this Colorado Young Life camp. And so when I think of Colorado, I think of my friends in high school going to Young Life camp. Anyway, without further ado, should we get into some Disney 411?
Yes, let's.
All right, let's get into it. Disney 411. So first up is a little Zendaya news. We don't really talk about Zendaya a lot, even though she's in the news all the time, and she's one of the biggest celebrities.
She's always working in silence.
She's always working in silence, and this, speaking of working, her next project may be forever silenced. Zendaya claims she, too, is unaware of when Euphoria Season 3 will begin production. Although the Euphoria star is an executive producer of the hit HBO series, she said she's not in charge of whether or not the third season will really happen. But of course, Zendaya wants to play Rue again. If it's again for the characters and everything turns out the way it should, of course, Zendaya said at the Challengers premiere in Los Angeles Tuesday night, but it's beyond me. The reason I bring this up is because it was reported like 2 months ago that Euphoria was supposed to shoot starting this month, like the new season.
Yeah.
Like what's telling is they released the actors from their contracts saying you can do other stuff, which means... Yeah. That means they have no timeline.
I think at this point, it's better off to just not have a third season. There's been a lot of behind the scenes drama. The second season, although I watched every episode and was sad, it was bad.
Yeah, it wasn't
like
great.
Especially compared to season one and the in-between episodes that were written and directed by other people.
Yeah.
So, and everybody in it is so famous at this point that they really don't need to come back. And I think just out of respect and like for many, many reasons, the third season just should not happen.
Yeah. And it's not like season two really ended on a what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
You know, from what I remember, I will say it was so fun doing Euphoria Sunday nights and being,
I know
that was like the best part.
I got up mid Super Bowl to watch Euphoria. Like it was that serious.
It was because everyone was online Euphoria Sunday nights.
Well, it was always like the whole episode, absolutely nothing would happen. And then in the last 3 seconds, it would be like, oh my God, something is happening. Something is happening.
It was crazy. Like that episode of in season two with Rue running.
That drug woman.
Yeah. Like what happened to her? There's so many unanswered questions about Euphoria.
And yet, and I don't need to know the answers.
Right. Like the play, that was crazy. It's the also play. Crazy that Zendaya, who's an executive producer, has no idea what's going on either. You would think she is a part of those.
Exactly. Like, why is she not in the know?
There was an article that came out, Variety reported an article about things that were happening in the writer's room, no one could decide on what to do with the show.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a flash forward where Rue was, like, an FBI agent or something.
Right.
Or, like, she was going to, like, and then they said Zendaya offered an idea where she's a surrogate to a couple. If they do anything, maybe it should just be a special, and that's it. But
they're going to be so old by that point that it's just, like...
Well, it's going to be a flash forward anyway.
I know, but still.
Well, one door closes, another one opens, or doors keep closing. Because our next story is about the Jonas Brothers. The internet is currently filled with disappointment.
Oh, I forgot.
Have you heard about this?
Yeah, but I forgot about it.
On Wednesday, April 10th, the band announced they are rescheduling the European leg of their tour, noting that upcoming shows are being shifted to later this year. They said, "We appreciate your love and support so much," the trio wrote. "We know this is a bit inconvenient, but we can't wait to share more about what's coming." The bandmates added that previously purchased tickets will be honored for the new tour dates. A note for the Jonas Brothers website says the European concerts are being postponed due to scheduling conflicts. Fans of the trio took to social media to share their grievances about the changing schedule, saying, "I love the Jonas Brothers, but the way they and their team are doing this, things is not okay. You can't just reschedule tour dates without giving an explanation. People are traveling from different sites to see you, and you just postpone shows for months later." Do you follow Desmois?
No.
Well, I do. And you know, everything you have to take is with a grain of salt.
More like a handful of salt.
But someone posted about the real reason of why they're rescheduling. And apparently, we'll see if this comes true. And if you don't follow Desmois, you've heard it here first. that Joe Jonas and Nick Jonas separately are going on are going to be starring on Broadway.
What?
And the show, Joe Jonas, is going to be in The Last 5 Years. And Nick Jonas is supposedly going to star in Tick, Tick, Boom. Which I will have to be seated for Tick, Tick, Boom.
I don't believe that one bit.
Why?
Neither one of those shows are open right now, are they?
No, but they may be in rehearsals by the time the Jonas Brothers are supposed to go on tour.
That's such a stupid reason.
That's what
Desmois
says.
And to reschedule them for later this year, that means they would have to be an extremely limited run.
Yeah, they're...
I don't believe a word.
We'll see. I mean, it tracks with Nick Jonas because he's been on Broadway a couple times.
I just wonder if it's not because they didn't realize... Oh, hell, we booked ourselves on a tour for 3 straight years and we need a break. Because they
probably
have tour dates scheduled like through 2025 already. And they've been on the road all of like last year.
They need to... It's like the Taylor Swift tour.
They need to be fathers.
Is Taylor... Speaking of Taylor Swift, is she still on tour? Is the Eras tour still going?
It's about to start in Europe with Paramore.
You're lying.
No, gosh. Paramore is opening for her at all, like, 50, there's, like, 52 shows now. And then there's more dates at the end of this year back in the U.S.
You're back in the U.S.? The
yes.
Eras Tour is coming back to the U.S.?
Yes.
You're lying.
In, like, November.
Where?
Like, there's some parts of Florida, Canada. It's very limited. It's, like, only a couple dates, but it's never going to stop. It's never going to stop.
This is the longest era of my life. And she's putting out a new album. This podcast will never know peace.
No, we won't.
Oh,
and she
my
keeps
gosh.
Getting all my favorite artists. She has Paramore opening for her. She had Fall Out Boy on her last album. She has Florence and the Machine on this one. Like, I'm suffering.
Well, we'll keep you updated if the Jonas Brothers head to Broadway. Our final story is a good segue into what we're talking about today because of who the article's about. Christy Carlson Romano is an advocate for protecting child actors and entertainers, and she has no interest in watching the new documentary Quiet on Set, which publicized allegations of abuse and a toxic work environment at Nickelodeon. She says, "I've chosen not to speak about this with anybody, including ID, which is the channel who aired this, who originally came to me looking to see if I'd be interested in a doc like this. I don't know if it was the doc itself, but I was approached when I first started advocating 3 years ago on my YouTube channel with my own experiences that I did in different and separate episodes, so to speak. I started to be approached by many reality show type producers, and they were like, 'Hey, how do you want to do this?' And I would combat them with saying, 'Hey guys, the only way we would do this is if we talk about how we fix it.' Representatives for the ID channel didn't immediately respond to Entertainment Weekly requests for comments on Romano's remarks." What do you think? Mm. What do you think about
Not
Christy?
Surprising, because doesn't she have beef with Alexa Nicholas, who's in that documentary?
Yeah, but I don't think that would stop her from doing it if she really wanted to do it. It's not like they had to do scenes together. I see where she's coming from about... I don't want to just share my experience. Remember that Demi Lovato documentary that she said was happening?
Yeah, what happened with that?
Right. Because Demi was talking about how she wanted, like, the Jonas Brothers to sit down, Selena, Miley. It's also interesting because you texted me once, because we've always do these Disney 411s, how some things we talk about that are happening and they never come to fruition, or things that do come to fruition, and how funny it is when we, our first opinions on it.
Yeah, it's really funny to go back and listen to old things. Like, I was listening to some episode recently where we announced that Zac Efron had been cast in the Iron Claw.
Oh, really? That's so funny.
Yeah, and, like, to be listening to that now and, like, how praised that movie was, how praised he was. Like, he got his Hollywood Star of Fame, basically, probably because of the Iron Claw.
Yeah.
Like, we've come so far. But then there's also, like, what happened of that Tish Cyrus anime series?
That's exactly, that's the always the thing that comes to my mind when we talk about things that
and
never
there's
come
some
to
that,
fruition.
Like, if you Google them, like Vanessa Hudgens' Trucker movie, it has an entry on IMDb, but it's never been updated. So it's just like, you assume those things are just never going to happen.
The Vanessa Hudgens Trucker movie and the Tish Cyrus animated series will be the two things that keep me awake at night about why didn't any of those things go through. There was that one time that Raven was going to do an HGTV show.
Oh, yeah. That didn't happen.
And then it was announced that Ashley Tisdale was doing a sitcom on CBS. That I don't think ever happened.
I mean, there could always be a lot of pilots that don't get picked up.
True. We have to think, like, now Ashley Tisdale's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like anything's going to be happening anytime soon. And I just realized we made our predictions about what espresso is going to sound like. And she did not say steaming one time.
No, she didn't. But she did say can't sleep.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that was closer to what I said.
Yeah. What a fun little Disney 401 stories.
Well.
That's all the 401 I have for you.
Well, we've yapped away from the segue a good bit. But speaking of Christy Carlson Romano, today, as we're covering some stuff that's like centralized around spring, it was sort of about spring break going in and coming out. I don't think it was about that actually at all.
Right.
But we've got a Kim Possible episode.
Which we don't cover a lot of the cartoons on here.
We cover Kim Possible like once a year.
Once a year. But we are talking about the Kim Possible episode, The Golden Years, aired on September 5th, 2003. And we picked this episode because in the description, it says they're on spring break. And just like Becca said, that's kind of a side to do.
It's not a lie, but
it's not a lie. But
it's,
that's not what it's about.
Is really about.
So for spring break, Kim, Ron, and Kim's family go visit her Nana in Florida. And unbeknownst to Kim, of course, there is a mission. And Dr. Draken and Shigo are there. And chaos ensues.
Yep, as it always does.
I love to ask this question every time we do this, but I can probably tell you the answer. Do you remember this episode?
No.
I don't either.
My memory of Kim Possible is pretty scattered.
Kim Possible, I really only remember the big episodes. What's big about this episode is the voice cast.
Exactly.
So we have Christy Carlson Romano, Wilfred Dell, but we have special guest star, cinema legend and Disney legend, Debbie Reynolds. As Nana Possible.
Nana Possible is like the funniest thing to be credited as.
And we don't know the Nana's first name. Debbie Reynolds is not just Aggie Cromwell. She's also Nana Possible. So she is certified the Disney Channel grandma.
Certified baddie grandma. Specifically. Ron is with Kim's family and they go to Florida on their spring break to help Nana Possible move into her new, like, retirement facility. And while Draken and Shigo are down there, it's always so funny because I never seem to remember that Kim Possible's family just, like, knows what she does and is fully chill about it.
And Nana Possible is obviously not chill about it, as any grandma
would. Well, she doesn't seem to really be understanding, but she's very mad that Kim wears crop tops.
And don't be mad at your granddaughter for wearing crop tops if you're moving to Florida.
She puts a big, huge green sweater on her in the Florida heat.
Also, we get a non-familiar Kim Possible outfit.
I know. Well, she's only in the black turtleneck like twice when she's crime fighting.
But she's in a lot of purple and pinks.
I know.
So shout out to Kim, the show Kim Possible, for not doing the stereotypical cartoon thing where they wear the same thing every episode.
And her hair. She has two crazy hair moments in this episode.
She does crazy hair possible. Ron knows this is a spring break episode. So his whole plot is about having the best spring break.
Yeah, for some reason, the spring break is happening directly outside of the retirement home.
Like, literally, directly outside.
Like, they open the garage door, and it's babes.
And I said, I thought that, too. I said, this retirement home is located in the heart of spring break.
Do you think it's for the old men to sit close to the window and be like, I remember making
money? Not on this Disney Channel show.
But what other reason would explain why those two things are so close together?
Maybe it's like, you know, the movie Up. Maybe it's one of those situations where it's been the same property for years and just around it has been changed. They're actually on the Miami Strip next to a strip club.
That's
what's happening.
It seems like. But then it ends up being that, like, of course, Rufus is way cooler than
of course.
Ron.
And another thing that I love, the things you have to buy into the show, is you have to buy into that everyone is fine and everyone is okay with Kim not having to hide her identity to be a what do you call Kim? A spy? But she's not a spy. Isn't like it,
a secret agent? Vigilante almost.
But like, aren't the implications of a spy is you have to be undercover?
And she's not a secret agent. Maybe she's just an agent.
She's just Kim Possible.
But honestly, it always comes up that, like, her family or her friends and her home, like, gets put in danger because she's opened herself to this. Like, in this episode, Draken is, like, fully, oh, that's your grandma.
like, Kim might as well just be shouting her social security number on top of her lawn.
Draken literally has files of information about Kim's grandma that she finds out through him.
Like,
that she didn't know before. Draken has a subscription to like one of those white page people look up things, and he just, everyone with the last name Possible, he keeps an eye on. Because he knows.
But the other thing I love that you have to buy in this universe is that Rufus is the life of the party. And no one has any qualms.
Well, I buy that 100%. Look at him.
No one has any qualms that a Nick and Mole Rat is doing a dive off the diving board.
Because Rufus is much cuter than a real life naked mole rat would be.
I remember one time I went to the zoo in elementary school and they had a naked mole rat exhibit. Well, it wasn't like, here are all the naked mole rats. It was just kind of like, you know. They
had one, sure.
And all the kids were like, oh my god, Rufus! So he's famous.
But then did you get up there and go, ugh!
I said, oh my god, Rufus.
You let yourself go.
You let yourself go, my man.
I mean, they made Rufus as cute as he possibly could be for being what he is.
Speaking of Rufus, I'm about to blow your mind.
What?
You know who voices... do you know who voices Rufus, right?
Yeah.
Nancy Cartwright?
Uh-huh.
Who's also the voice of Bart from The Simpsons.
Yeah, and many others.
Well, she's related to someone that... we know.
That we know?
That we personally know.
Okay.
But that we just talked about. Sabrina Carpenter.
Huh?
Yeah, that's Sabrina Carpenter's aunt.
No way.
Yeah.
In my mind, the first name that jumped into my mind was Sabrina Carpenter, but I was like, no, surely not.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Disney legend.
Sabrina Carpenter says it was really cool growing up. Like, when she would just pull out the Bart voice if we were at a restaurant. And there's a picture of her, Nancy Cartwright, and Robin Williams.
Stop! Sabrina is everywhere!
She's always switching it up like Nintendo. So, the voice cast of Kim Possible and connected to everyone.
Well, of course, you have Miss Jean Smart singing right at the top of the episode. She said, watch Hacks Season 3.
But the more important thing before we get it into the episode even more is, did you skip the theme song?
No.
I did.
I honestly was waiting to see if, because it was season two, the visuals were different, and I forgot that they never changed the visuals.
Yeah. I know it's, like, unbiblical to skip the Kim Possible theme song, but I did, okay.
Apparently it does matter when or where there's trouble, because you've got somewhere else to be.
I did. Also, it's just always so jarring to watch a Disney Channel episode that is in high definition. Just because I'm so used to the standard little box. And it's a little bit fuzzy. So seeing a full saturation of Kim Possible to the very 100% full screen, baby.
We find out in the car that Ron is just along for the ride. And that Nana and Kim Possible have kind of a sort of a strained relationship because Nana is very critical of Kim.
Yeah.
As we see when she immediately plunks a sweater on her. And she calls her Kimberly Ann.
Which, you know, she means business.
What is she? But she never calls Ron Ronald.
Well, Nana doesn't know
call
Ron.
Him anything.
Nana doesn't know Ron like that.
But they're helping her move. The boys are very excited to be there. She gives them a gift. She gives the boys, like, 8 naked vinyl records all stacked on top of each
other.
Oh,
yeah. Fellow vinyl collectors.
You're never supposed to do that. That's, like, the worst thing you could possibly do to a record.
No jackets
stacked on... You're not supposed to stack them, like that way. You're supposed to have them, like, stand up. But then also to have them out of the jackets, like, those are frick-fracked. And then when they're like, let's see if we can put it on our MP3. Count the amount of times they say MP3 player in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
It's so dated.
Well... There was a sign later in the episode that said party 2, the number 2, night, N-I-T-E.
You know what really did it for me was the 4 or 5 times that somebody says off the heezy.
Off the heezy. Well, we find out that Dr. Draken has a teen slang book. And I wanted to, I paused it to kind of see what else was in the book. And there was beef.
Well, beef is still relevant.
It
off
is.
The heezy is not. When was the last time you heard somebody say off the heezy?
You.
Kim's gift from the grandma is a bunch of ugly dresses. And
now you hating Nana's outfits of choice.
Well, Kim hates them.
You have to hate everything that Kim hates.
Some of those dresses, I'm sure if somebody wore on TikTok in a pair of combat boots, I'd be like, oh.
Right.
But we'll see. And we see that Shego and Draken are running an ice cream truck.
I was happy to, when we started watching the episode, because sometimes it's the villain of the week type thing on Kim Possible.
Yeah.
So I was happy. I was like, oh, we're getting like a great, well, Debbie Reynolds is a guest star, so they had to have everyone.
Of course. Draken and Shego are a great duo. I always get laughs out of Draken, especially.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're doing pretty well for themselves with this little ice cream shop. They're keeping inventory. They're selling
they're
out of some
profit.
Things. Yeah.
Hey,
they're cooking.
You have to keep up your business if you also want to take over the world.
But they're also trying to... Draken has this satellite, and he thinks that if he is able to get it going into the signals of everyone's MP3 players at spring break, that he'll have an army of teen zombies to help him take over the world, because it's never anything else.
It's always take over, like, so what's going to happen when Dr. Draken takes over the world? Like, what are you going to do with
exactly mess it up immediately? We have to see what Ron and Rufus are up to on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Rufus is devouring a fudgesicle.
And he has such a funny floppy hat. I noticed
that.
Great.
What is a froob?
A what?
A froob.
What are
you
telling
me? Ron calls himself a froob, and then
okay,
he is called a froob by a girl who passes by him.
I heard that too, and I thought I misheard what they said. Okay, I'm looking it up.
The subtitle said F-R-O-O-B, froob.
Okay, according to the Urban Dictionary, a froob is a noob who is more annoying than just a new player.
So it's video game slang.
Yeah, so froob comes from the combination of the words free and newbie. More, he's annoying, I guess.
Well, of course it's because he's annoying.
But he's also a loser, and he shouts, I'm a real loser.
He does. On the high dive board at this random sorority
party. Did you see the flyer?
The loser flyer?
Yeah.
Yeah. It gets so serious that people are handing around posters that look like a missing poster for Ron, but they just say loser on them.
I literally would have to move away. And
he doesn't live there.
I would never set foot on the Florida, the Sunshine State again.
It's like, have you seen this loser? Take a paper towel.
Have you seen this loser? Also, they did Ron, the animators did Ron dirty because he is pale as Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Well, do you think he would be out there tanning?
You could,
Mr. Stoppable.
The animators couldn't just do a little, nice little shade of a marker.
That's not realistic. Ron would not have a tan.
I suppose.
If anything, he would get more burnt as this episode continued.
And he didn't.
I know. And Rufus, I hope Rufus was putting on the sunscreen, because Rufus is like jumping on the high dive. He's getting covered in smooches and crowd
covered
served by women.
Imagine, like, imagine you're walking up and you see like this little naked mole rat in the water. People would be screaming and running away.
I know. Or they'd be like, whose dick is that?
Who's what? Whose disembodied appendage is floating in the pool?
I don't know what I would think it was if I saw a naked mole rat floating, but I think that would be my immediate thought.
Like, imagine you're just on vacation in Florida. Your pool party is right next to the retirement home. And you see a naked mole rat go on the high dive and do a gigantic cannonball.
And your first thought is to go, woo! I would be like, I'm giving this Airbnb a 2-star. And I'm checking out.
One, we have to be quiet after 8. So the old people can go to sleep.
And there's a naked mole rat in the pool. Also, some guy who doesn't live here is walking around screaming at me, calling himself a loser.
And he's so pale.
Like, we had to make flyers and he still wouldn't leave us alone.
And there's also a weird blue guy with a ponytail selling the ice cream.
Well, apparently it's selling well, but Kim encounters their ice cream truck and they try all these tricks to avoid her and her rocket roller skates.
Also, I'm sorry to talk about Kim's fashion again, but I think it's very brave for an animator to put a redhead in purple. Because then your mind immediately goes to Daphne from Scooby-Doo.
That's like the purple and green, though. And they just, she's kind of in purple and pink. But I see what you're saying.
But you know what I mean? Like, because like an iconic redhead in purple, you think of Daphne from Scooby-Doo.
Well, Kim is an iconic redhead in purple today. Not all the time.
Well, Daphne did it first.
Sure. She's Daphne-ing it up. She's chasing the ice cream truck. She saves this family's ice creams that they all drop. And they lose a bunch of ice creams, we hear Draken shout, not the fruity lickies. Those are our best seller. So he's like keeping track of inventory. He knows that they need more fruity lickies.
Which is good. It's good.
But Nana Possible catches her in the act and lets Draken and Chico get away.
Yeah. Kim is very startled for someone who fights villains all the time.
I know. She falls into a hammock.
Her Nana, maybe that was Christy Carlson Romano in the recording booth realizing that Debbie Reynolds is playing her grandmother. So
Nana?
So they had to animate Christy's voice because she sounded so shocked.
I loved how when she sees her outside, she's like, Kim, what are you doing? And they don't speak. And then the conversation fades and it's nighttime and they're in the living room.
Yeah.
They didn't speak for hours. But she's kind of trying to explain to Nana, like, what she does and what she's doing. And it's just not clicking.
We just keep, because it's big payoff in the end, that Kim tries to explain to Nana how she is not putting herself in danger. This is what she does. She fights the villains. And Nana's like, ugh, let someone else handle the hooligans, honey. She's like, no, yeah. I handle the hooligans. And because you're supposed to think that Nana is just doesn't get it, will never get it, and just always thinks Kim can't handle herself.
So then we see Draken's lair in this like swampy area because we have to have the gators to show
right.
This Florida, we gotta have the gators.
I'm surprised they weren't going to Disney World the way they're...
He turns on his satellite. It's the big reveal. And he's like, soon I'll have this army of teens, this army of teens. And he opens the door and it's an army of senior citizens. And Nana is on the front lines. Nana Possible with her lemon squares.
With her
those are good as hell.
Those were a big
thing.
Was Nana had her lemon squares when they first came to the house.
She has them when they come to the house. She has them when she shows up at Draken's. And then it becomes a thing because Draken like loves the lemon squares.
Yeah. And we didn't mention it before because this is the reason Nana showed up is because Draken was trying to hypnotize everyone while they listened to their MP3 players, but he only got through to everyone who has hearing aids. And earlier in the episode, Nana has hearing aids, and when Kim was talking to her about how she fights crime and Nana turns off her hearing aids. I was like, that's great, dear.
That's such a funny thing to have happen, to have, like, he's trying to summon teenagers, but he gets senior citizens. And he's just like, he says, you know what? They're here. They're zombies. Let's see what they can do.
Right. He's like, you know what?
It's very Gru-coded.
It's very who-coded?
Gru.
Gru. Okay.
I think it's something Gru would do. Because he's like, Draken, the whole episode is like, you know what? I'll honestly get more fame and fortune being the guy who pulled off a heist with a bunch of senior citizens. And he's right for that.
I like how they all have hearing aids. So I know there's at least one or two people in that retirement home who are of that age who aren't having their hearing aids. What are they
doing? Where'd everybody go? I also love how as soon as they take one of the hearing aids out, one of the guys is like, huh? Where am I? Where am I?
What'd you say?
With the other hearing aid still totally in. So if one of them dies or they turn, or like the hearing aid, not.
Oh my God. This isn't your mom's Kim Possible.
I'm sorry. The hearing aid, like if one of their hearing aids like goes out or like if they turn it off, like they're totally checked out of this zombie thing.
Yeah, they're back to normal.
Which would have been funny. But we see the next morning, Kim wakes up with a bedhead. It's crazy.
Her bedhead was kind of
her
really
other
crazy
hair moment was when she took the sweater off and her hair became enormous.
You know, like when you take a sweater off or something and it's like a very wool sweater and your hair is so staticky?
Yeah.
Like when you rub a balloon on it?
Yeah, I know. Like that's what they were going for, but her hair became a puffball.
Well, because her hair's already poofy.
Her hair's swoopy, not poofy. But her bedhead's a little scraggly, and her mom is like, go wake up Nana so we can go to breakfast. And she goes to wake up Nana, but she's like, something's not right.
Well, Nana walks out with a bunch of, like, computer stuff, which I didn't understand.
Yeah, she's like wrapped in, well, apparently it's because they pulled a tech robbery.
Oh, okay.
Like, for Draken, I guess they're like, he told all the old people to, like, go steal technology. Which at the time means she's wrapped in like a keyboard and a mouse and right. Everything is very analog. And they're like, high tech robbery. But she's like, what is going on? And they go to breakfast at this buffet that I know is slapping.
I know. They animated those pancakes really well.
Ron and Kim are investigating this like robbery thing because that's what's been called into them. And they see like this residue on the floor and they're like, huh, I don't know what that is, but we'll have a lab test done on it. Even though it's so obviously the lemon squares.
We have to talk about how Rufus has become the talk of the town even more so.
Rufus is the honorary mascot of like five different sororities.
Right.
He's in a sweater. He has a flag. He's the life of the party. They love him.
Pi Beta Rufus incoming. I'm rushing. You have to play you have to get a perfect score on the Bueno Nacho game.
I wouldn't pass. No, I want to be a Pi Beta Rufus.
Instead of a typical terrible rushing thing, they're like, you have to get a perfect score on the...
You have to eat a whole nacho.
And not throw up. Imagine Rufus on Hot Ones.
It's a need.
It's a need. It's a must. It's a guarantee.
It's a want, it's a need. But Kim sees at some point when Draken activates he summons all the old people back to the lair and they start walking like zombies.
Isn't they get on the jet skis?
Yes, they all walk out of the retirement home up to these loose jet skis. That is such a safety hazard.
That was my thing. I said, yeah, you're using these old people to do your crimes. But at the end of the day, they are still, however old they are, so they can't be so, like, quickly to maneuver.
I know.
Like, doing all these things.
I just think it's
except
so funny
for Nana
that
Possible,
they have,
which we find out.
They have, like, 8 totally unattended jet skis just sitting at this retirement home for anybody to get on at any time without signing a waiver.
Yeah.
And all these elderly people just zoom off on the jet skis to Draken's lair, and Kim just so happens to have an extra one, so she follows them. Kim's outside in the bush, and she's, like, watching, and she knows now that Nana is a part of it, because she cancels Wade's lab test, and she's like, don't even bother. Like, I know those are my Nana's lemon squares. I know they are.
Yeah.
And she sees her walking in, and then these other two old people come up and tie Tim up with yarn, and they bring her inside. I mean, in between that, we just see Ron fumbling the bag with everyone again.
Yeah, we get the loser poster again.
Yeah.
Rose is the king of spring break.
But then I guess he gets this idea to just, like, throw his own party with Rufus as the mascot.
Yeah.
And then he'll be cool.
Of course.
So Kim is tied up with the yarn and being slowly lowered into the gator pit.
In the gator pit.
Draken reveals to her, because he's been doing his research,
he's
stalking
been doing
his family, that Nana Possible
Kim
is
Kim
like,
makes it very easy for him.
Yeah. Nana Possible is like a trained martial artist. She was like, she's really, really skilled. And if she's tuned in to hit Kim, she will. And Draken's like, I guess you don't know your own grandmother, like, at all.
She's like, Nana? My favorite thing is when, because he showed pictures, because she's like, was trained in the art of, like, explaining.
Yeah, it's like a textbook on her.
Yeah, but they're like, when she was around your age, and they showed her a picture of Nana supposedly around Kim's age, and she looks the exact same with brown hair.
She looks 50.
I guess she's like one of those women who always looked old.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like the Helen Mirren or the who's the girl? Maggie Smith has always looked like Maggie Smith. So that's kind of what Nana Possible is.
Her name has always been Nana.
Her name is Honey, it's a girl. What should we call her?
Nana.
When does Wade and the communicator come in like a little go-kart?
Oh, he calls it something.
That's around
remote manual control. Because he pages Kim and she's not responding. So he like turns it into like a little machine and like flies it in.
Yeah.
And Draken has Nana Possible start battling Kim. And he calls her a bad grandmother, and then he gets cut off by somebody saying something.
Well, Kim Possible, no. Kim goes, shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth. Hello. Like, bad grandmother fucker.
Right. Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
And then we get Debbie Reynolds versus Christy Carlson Romano, the ultimate showdown that we've been waiting for.
In another life, that could have been the Return to Halloween Town cast.
Debbie Reynolds and Christy Carlson Romano?
Yeah.
Actually,
instead of Sarah Paxton?
Would she have been appropriate age? Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you have liked Christy Carlson as a recast Marnie?
I don't think anyone would have liked a recast Marnie. Because it's not that Sarah Paxton did a bad job. It's just that people are angry that they recast Marnie for no reason.
I think Christy Carlson was too much of a Disney name.
Maybe.
Yeah. You know?
She was in the booth singing Could It Be?
Yeah.
The hearing aids all get checked out, and the old people all turn and defend Kim and Nana against Draken and Shiko.
And Nana is a great fighter.
Nana is Bruce Lee-ing it up. She's
Bruce Lee-ing it up.
She's going crazy out there. So, of course, they win the day.
Yeah.
That all wraps up with Draken and Shiko driving away, basically being like, you'll rule the very day. And Draken says his classic, Nana Possible, if you think your lemon squares are all that, they're not. Which I know he's lying, because he's gobbling one of them up.
Of course, he just doesn't want to give Nana the satisfaction, because Nana already beat his ass.
shame. She kicked his ass before we could get the recipe. He wanted the recipe so bad. He should have just kept the ice cream truck and done like a little side business.
I know, but you know Shigo would have left.
Ice cream and lemon squares. Shigo has to drive.
Shigo was the driver. Shigo was the driver. But then once that happens, we get Ron's party with Rufus,
which has the needle drop of Summertime Guys from the Kim Possible soundtrack,
which we covered the Kim Possible soundtrack and we discussed the song. But this is clearly a spring break episode just by Ron saying it's spring break. It could have easily been a summer episode, but they chose to say spring break. They chose to put a timestamp.
Yeah.
And we put a song that's about summertime.
Spring break, guys.
We'll just do a fun.
School is out, but we go back next week. Spring break, guys.
So.
It's not as catchy.
It sounds catchy.
But I loved hearing that in this.
It was. It's always fun too when we listen to these Disney Channel soundtracks without the context of what episode they're supposed to be in, and then we stumble upon one.
Yeah.
That's always fun. Before the episode ends, we check back with Nana, Kim, and now that
their relationship has improved because they can spar.
They can bond. Unlike Kim, Nana can keep a secret about her abilities. So no one was ever looking for Nana or Kim because Nana said, my special skills of fighting are on a need to know basis.
She was like, you think my name is actually Nana? Please.
She goes, well, that part is true.
So they're fighting in the front yard, and Nana is beating Kim's ass. Nana is taking no prisoners. And
she hasn't fought in a while, so she's like, I gotta be more ass.
She needs to beat ass. But she's whooping Kim, and Kim is like, best two out of three.
She's whooping Kim.
And the dad pulls up and is like, Kim, baby, like, we gotta go. But then,
okay,
Kim, baby.
I don't think the dad said, Kim, baby, it's time to go.
He probably said, Kim, honey,
it's time to go.
But before they can leave, she gets a page from Wade that there's poisonous spiders in Guam. So she has, it's never clear to me, is Kim Possible's range of like crime fighting
anywhere?
Is it just when she's home? Like, if she's on vacation, can she go somewhere else?
And does she get paid for these missions?
We'll never know.
From the government?
But like Guam, she's like, we gotta get on a plane right now. Like, are they gonna make it back to school by the time spring break is over? Or will they still be in Guam?
I'm going to Google the distance between Florida and Guam. Oh, that's not even that bad. It's like only $1,000.
But how long is the flight?
From Guam to United States, it's 14 hours.
Okay.
Okay, from Guam to Florida, it's 16 hours and 57 minutes.
So they're not making it back to school on time if they've already spent a couple days there.
Well, let's say they have a week. Spring break week. Maybe they stayed in Florida for like 4 days. It's a great excuse not to go to school. I gotta
fight. I was fighting spiders in Guam.
My closing question to you: do you think these stereotypical old people tropes of the hearing aids, the knitting, the not wanting you to wear X, Y, and Z, is that still relevant?
It can be. I think it depends on the grandparent.
Like, do you think that will always be a stereotypical grandparent thing to do, like, in media?
To put in film? Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because it's easily identifiable.
Yeah.
As the base. Because, you know, you have the hip granny. You have the sexy granny. Like, well, that's not where my mind ought to jump to. But
sexy
you have, like,
well, and those are all Nana. She's just a layer of grandma.
You have off branches of the grandparent, like, stereotype as well.
Yeah. Just a thought, just a ponder.
She falls into the cool Nana category, I think.
At the end. It's supposed to be the bait and switch. You think she's just
misunderstood Nana.
Yeah, and so she's the cool, sexy Nana. Just like Debbie Reynolds. Debbie Reynolds will never play your typical grandma.
True.
She never will. That's why we love her. Anyway, it's time for your reading Disney Channel.
You're reading Disney Channel.
You're reading Disney Channel is a segment we like to do on the podcast when we're talking about a specific episode or movie. And since we're talking about the Kim Possible episode, The Golden Years, we'll be reading a scene from this. This is a scene involving Kim and Nana, and this is a scene right after Nana distracts Kim from capturing Draken and Shego, and Kim is back in the retirement home with Nana trying to explain why she can fight crime. So, Becca, would you like to be Nana or would you like to be Kim?
I'll let you be Nana.
Okay.
Oh, this is the scene that takes place half in the daytime and half at night.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll so keep that in mind. All right. 3, 2, 1, action.
Gotcha.
Kimberly Ann.
Whoa! Ooh.
Stop this whooshing around this instant before you get hurt.
Nana, you let them get away.
I was only making certain that you weren't hurt, dear. I mean, aren't there people who are trained to handle those hooligans?
Yes, me. I handle hooligans all the time. It's what I do.
I know, dear. You're a teen. It's natural to want to rebel.
I am not rebelling. I'm the opposite of rebelling.
Well, I'm off to bed. Night, Kimberly Ann.
Night, Nana.
And scene.
She said, I'll turn my hearing aid off and hear what I want to hear.
I texted you that this episode was, like, very fast-paced. Did you feel that?
I feel like it was fast-paced in the way that we spent a little bit of time with each thing for, like, a second. This was just a more, like, fighting-heavy episode. Like, there was a lot more action than some other ones, I think, that we've covered in the past. Which I liked.
It is a cartoon. So cartoons are always naturally more... Fast.
Yeah.
Than regular things. All right. What is the Kim Possible Disney Channel lesson we learned today?
The Disney Channel lesson that I learned today is if you have a really good lemon square, make sure you get that recipe before anything else goes down.
So true. I think my Disney Channel lesson is never underestimate your grandmother.
So true.
You never know what her life is like before you came along. If people want to see your lemon square recipe, Becca, where can they find you?
I don't have a lemon square recipe, sadly, but you can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Heyo, it's Becca, H-E-Y-O, and you can check out the link trees in my bio if you're interested in anything else.
If you want to follow me on any of the social medias, I'm at RealHunterMartin on Instagram, HCameronMartin on Twitter. But more importantly, if you want to keep up to date about anything and everything about this podcast, we're on all the social medias. Just type in the Time Mastery Podcast. You'll find us there. Join us on Patreon. We are gearing up to release our bonus episode. So if you want to have some more fun with us, just subscribe to only $3 a month. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and rate us there as well. If you do, you'll shout you out the next time we record, and leave us 5 stars on Spotify if you're ever so kind. And talk to us on all the social media. Like we said earlier, with all y'all's opinions about Girl Meets World, we love talking to you guys on there. Just tell us what you like, tell us what you don't like, tell us what you want to hear, and tell us what you don't want to hear, because we want everyone to have so much fun listening to this as we have making it.
Ooh. All right. Next week. We have something very exciting coming.
It's a good one.
It's a good one.
But that's showbiz.
That's showbiz. Until next time, we'll see you later, time travelers.
Always buckle your seatbelts.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.